What is up, Mets fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Mets Up Podcast. The boys are stroking that podcast YouTube algorithm, doing a little bit of player previews. We've seen a couple people do these before, and honestly, I'm be truthful. Doesn't really make a lot of sense in my head, but the boys are playing the numbers game. We're playing the episode game. We're playing the podcast game here. We're playing the content game. We're going to be dropping some player previews for you guys until the opening day, basically. As long as we can, as many guys as we can talk about on their own, we will. And then we're going to end up grouping in some players that are in similar positions together that don't really deserve their own episode. Like, I don't know, who's a player that's coming off the top of your head that's probably not going to get their own episode, James?
We're not going to do the Michael Tonkin episode.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a perfect choice. Michael Tonkin, honestly, though, maybe with how the bullpen's looking and like we might need a stretch guy, Michael Tonkin could be him. Maybe he gets his own, but at the same time,
maybe no Omar Narvaez episode.
Yeah, I think that's a better one. Omar Narvaez is not going to get his own. But yeah, this is the Francisco Lindor player preview episode, Glaze Fest, whatever you want to call it. We're going to act as if you guys don't know anything about Francisco Lindor. You've never heard about him. And we're going to tell you all the great things about the New York Mets shortstop, because let's be honest, here's where it starts. Get ready. I mean, he is one of the best shortstops in baseball. There's just no way around it.
He's at worst. If you like held my head in the sink, at worst I'd give you his top three. That's the lowest I could possibly go. And I would really fight you on top two, because it's just he simply is, since he came to the Mets, basically since he came up into the major leagues as a Cleveland, then Indian, now technically Guardian, I guess, to be PC. But it's just, he's one of the best shortstops in baseball, and he's really become one of the best players in baseball. And I'm happy we've gotten to a point now where basically the public perception of Mets fans, basically every single person's on board with this, and it's the right side of history.
Yeah, because it was for a while insane. Like, I get it. The first year wasn't the best for Francisco Lindor.
It was one of
his down years, and he did the Carlos Beltran thing. Came to New York, got paid, didn't play well. And I think a lot of people who saw him have that down COVID year got a little bit worried of like, oh my God, did we trade for this guy who's now never going to be as good as he once was in Cleveland? But the last 2 years have completely shut that down. Again, he is not just one of the best shortstops in the National League. He's one of the best shortstops in baseball, one of the best players in the league, a top 25 player, in my opinion, in all of Major League Baseball. And he's there every single day for the Mets. What has he missed, like two or three games in his three seasons as a New York Mets? Like, it's unbelievable the durability that he's had as well.
He's missed the three games in 2 years, but he missed like basically a month in 2021. Remember the month right after we got Javier Baez? I think it was a quad or it was an oblique. He got hurt for something legitimate. I think he even still came back in less time. But again, he simply is one of the best players in baseball, and definitely the best player in this Mets team. I wanted to chat a little quote from the great Phil Leotardo of the late seasons of The Sopranos. Said that there's five families and a little pygmy thing out in New Jersey. That little pygmy thing out in New Jersey, that's technically the group of Mets fans that still don't believe Francisco Lindor is like a really good baseball player. And we have to deal with that, and that's fine, but it's a vocal minority. It's just, in three seasons as a Met, Lindor, 77 homers, 279 runs scored, 260 RBIs, 57 stolen bases, 16.8 F4. That's per season. That comes out to 26 homers, 93 runs, 89 RBIs, 19 stolen bases, 5.6 war, and that's in 150 games per year, because he did miss those about 30, 40 games 2021. That's a fantastic season. That's a guy, if he's playing 162, you're basically looking at 30, 95, 95, 22, 6 war, basically. Yeah.
And we've seen the last few seasons, like, he's been playing at that elite level. And that's just on the offensive side, too. Talk about this guy defensively. He's arguably the best defensive shortstop in all of baseball. Again, if he's not one, he's two or three. Like, he's right up there as one of the best defensive shortstops in the league, with being a well above average hitter. There's nothing not to like about this guy, and he shows up every single day, plays hard. I really don't know what else to say about Francisco Lindor besides that, like, he's awesome. Again, this is the Glaze episode, so
major Glaze Fest. It's only missed three games in 2 years, and we found out a couple months ago he played all of last year with a bone spur in his elbow, something that he said specifically happened at spring training.
Yeah,
so he played literally the whole year with a bone spur in his elbow. And then 2 years ago, remember, he like basically broke his finger shutting the door in San Francisco. I think he missed a game, and that was when he was starting off really hot, then got cold because dealing with a broken finger. Last year he had a kid, he was at the ballpark in the afternoon for a pinch hit appearance. Like, it was like he is there every single day. Like, this is what you want from your highest paid player, from your leader, from your shortstop, like from someone who's become like the face of your franchise. Is everything you want. And probably in that sum.
And since we've signed him, I mean, he's genuinely become the face of this franchise. He has been one of the most valuable players as well, just in baseball. So if you want to make the argument about the money conversation with Francisco Lindor, oh, he's not worth the $300 million or whatever it's going to be. He's got the sixth most F-war in Major League Baseball since the time of signing that contract. And that's only behind Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Freddie Freeman, and Jose Ramirez, which you're talking about, again, some of the best players in baseball. We just named four of the five best players in baseball, arguably, especially on the offensive side. So to be in that category, it really does like make you almost take a step back and be like, holy shit, like is he actually even better than we think he is?
Significantly. And that's even like just barely behind Trey Turner. And Trey Turner is not as good a defensive player, probably slightly better offensive player, but also just came off the worst year of his career. Also in the first year of a mega deal with a new team in a new city.
Crazy moving his whole how family. That happens.
Yeah, lots of stuff happened in your head with that. I mean, Freddie Freeman, that didn't happen, I guess, because he's just a freak of nature. But all that also including like one of the six best players in the league since he signed the deal. That's including the literal worst season for Francisco Lindor's entire career. Like, that happened. It's very real. Can't sugarcoat that. Like, he had a bad season. He hit 230 with, like, 20 homers. It was only worth four WAR. Oh, my God. Only worth four WAR. Probably one of, like, 50 players in baseball to get to that number in the worst season of his entire career. It's just he's very comfortably one of the 10 best position players, 15 best, I'll even give you position players in baseball, second or third best shortstop, and even a lot of people go back to that contract all the time. It's $340 million. Like, it's a ridiculous contract. Yeah, he's a good player, but he's only 30 home runs for $340 million, blah, blah, blah. Even since he signed that contract, it's looked better and better and better with every passing offseason. Corey Seager signed basically the same deal at the same age, and he's disgusting. Corey Seager did things last year at the plate that, like, I don't even know how to describe. Like, it was the most amazing thing ever. He won the World Series MVP, led his team to the championship. Amazing. But even still, like, he played, what, 125 games, and this year he already has another injury. He's already probably going to miss opening day. Like, that's the thing. Like, that's always going to happen with Corey Seager, but he's going to be, like, 60% better than league average when he's on the field, so you give it to him. It's also not anywhere near the defensive player Francisco Lindor. Like, there's a real world where Corey Seager, that team just has so many clunky guys that first base and third base are kind of blocked up. But I'm sure the last few years of that contract, 34, 35, 36, 37 years old, Corey Seager's either on a corner or possibly just a DH because he'll still be able to hit. Where Lindor signed through age 37 season, you're going to need to drag that guy out of shortstop kicking and screaming. Like, you might have to knock him out, tranquilize him, take him off that position. But even when he has to go off that position, it's going to be a great second baseman. I remember I tweeted that as like a meme or as a joke when he signed that deal. It'd be like, 35-year-old second baseman Francisco Lindor is going to be such a wild event. And it's true. I feel it. Yeah. Like, he's going to still give you up the middle defensive value at the back end of this contract. Now, if you look at some other contracts signed by shortstop, Carlos Correa makes $1 million less than Francisco Lindor a year.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's not close at all. I'd much rather have Lindor. And then you look at years. Like, he's only signed to 37. That's huge for a mega deal, not taking guy until 40. Trey Turner signed his deal last year. He signed until 40 years old, just had the worst year of his career. I don't want that. Lindor 37. It's not even going to be that bad. Like, he might sign another deal after that, another 2 or 3 year deal worth like $50 million. Like, or like something like Altuve just signed this year, like $24 million for a couple of years to 40.
Brandon Crawford's still playing, and that guy can't hit for a lick. So, like, the fact that, like, Francisco Lindor will be around that same age, still have that. Oh my God, I just got a huge burp. So that great glove. I don't think the bat's going anywhere. Yeah, like, you just compare him to all the shortstops around the league. Like, Dansby Swanson got that 7-year deal. He's way better than Dansby Swanson. Javier Baez got that mega deal from the Tigers. He's way better than Javier Baez. All the guys who are getting paid, there's just Francisco Lindor is different. Like, I think for sure Corey Seager is number one. Like you said, he's just what he does in a vacuum at the plate is just way more valuable than what most people do for the entire season. But then you look at Lindor, and the only guy I think that's really in that same tier of like having that defense and offense right now is Bobby Witt Jr. And that guy's 22 years old or 23 years old. So you're comparing him to like one of the best young players in baseball. He's obviously in his prime. And there does seem to be a drop off after those three because they don't all do what Francisco Lindor is able to do, which is offense and defense.
And speed. Lindor just went 30-30 last season. Bobby Witt also has speed. Bobby Witt might go 40-50 this year. So he's a different category. He might shoot past everybody this year. Like, he's that good. He's that special player. And he just got his mega deal. So good on Bobby Witt. Like, be a superstar. But
yes, sir.
It is a bit of a different feeling to be a superstar, I think, in Kansas City compared to New York City.
You think so?
And we've heard Lindor talk about this. And we heard more specifically Carlos Beltran talk about this when he came on our show last year, last spring training, where it's like when you're become the face of the franchise, you're the highest paid player in the team in New York. Like, you're asked to do everything. You're asked to do media. You're asked to do endorsements. Like, you're be a leader in the team. You have to help other guys in the locker room, training, all this stuff. And it's hard to say no. And you could feel that so much with Lindor because of his personality, because he's always talking to everybody. He's always smiling at everybody. He's always trying to help everybody. So I think it probably just was a situation where he had to kind of figure out his own time management, his own process to where he had to work on himself, where he had the time for other stuff, and then where he kept having the time to do all these other things he does. The charitable contribution, emotions, being a father. His wife posted a crazy thing on Instagram like a week and a half ago that like he's smiling at camp right now, but you didn't see that he was up all night with like a baby last night and then helped her other daughter get ready for school in the morning to help with homework. And now on 2 hours of sleep, he's at the ballpark smiling, helping Jet Williams position himself at shortstop.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be great to have him around with those young players as well. I can only imagine the value that he's going to be able to bring to the development of guys like Jet Williams and Luis Angel Acuña and even Brett Beatty, who we've seen him be like kind of close to around in camp this spring, working on drills with him, being involved, getting work in with the guy who definitely needs some help. So I think the fact that I don't think there was ever a question of what kind of leader Francisco Lindor would ever be, because it just seems like he's more of a lead by example guy rather than like a vocal, rile people up, like inspirational leader. But that's fine. You don't need to be the inspiration. You don't need to be Ray Lewis on the field in order to make an impact as a leader. And for Francisco Lindor, don't give me that smudge.
No, I was going to make a joke, be like, thankfully he's also not like Ray Lewis off the field either. Like, upstanding citizen, fantastic father, and he's a valuable member of the community. Nothing nefarious to our knowledge.
No, but like, he's the face of the franchise. He's exactly the guy that you would want to pay $300 million to. Not to mention, he's also like on a Hall of Fame career path, like low-key, on path to be one of the best shortstops to ever play this game, and it's not really even debatable at this point.
I would even call it high key. Francisco Lindor is the seventh most WAR ever for a shortstop before turning 30 years old. And A-Rod's not on that list because I set the sliders to have to play 90% of your games at shortstop before turning 30. And he switched to third base at like 27, so he's not on there. But the only players in the history of baseball to have more WAR accumulated before turning 30 than Francisco Lindor, Ernie Banks, truthfully one of the greatest players in the history of baseball. Ernie Banks is not celebrated enough for everything he did as a baseball player, because the Cubs were just a shit show for like 100 years straight, basically, and then good for a couple, and now kind of weird again. But Ernie Banks, Cal Ripken Jr., Alan Trammell, Archie Vaughn, Lou Boudreau, and somehow Jim Fregosi.
Interesting.
And that's the live ball era. If you set that for since 1960, you or 1950, you only get Banks, Ripken, Trammell, and Fregosi. Again, weird one, Fregosi. But like Archie Vaughn and Lou Boudreau, like those are special players, but they're definitely playing a different game. Lou Boudreau, one of the greatest shortstop seasons of all time. I think it was 1928, 1943, one of those. He had 2% strikeout rate, 12% walk rate, like 20 homers. The guy was unstoppable to play. Won the MVP, Hall of Famer, whatever. But from that whole list, everybody except Boudreau and Banks has played at least 1,400 games, where Lindor's only played 1,200 games so far. So he's even still a couple hundred games short of those guys. He's still accumulating the same wins above replacement as them before his age 30 season. And all of those players I just named, besides Jim Fregosi, of course, is in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And that is where Francisco Lindor is right now. It's really, really hard to argue against it.
Yeah, totally. And that like encapsulates too, like defensively on Baseball Reference, they use DRS rather than OAA. And OAA loves him even more than DRS does. OAA is like, this guy's not only a sick shortstop, he's one of the best we've ever seen play the position defensively at shortstop with his OAA. So that could even bump him up a little bit more. And the fact that you look at the counting stats too, he has the third most home runs for shortstops in that time period, only behind Cal Ripken and Ernie Banks, who are, I mean, prolific power hitters as well at that position. So pretty incredible company to be involved with when you're talking about the greatest shortstops of all time.
And he's also only 10 home runs behind Cal Ripken Jr., but with 250 less plate appearances. And Francisco Lindor, for his career, his average home runs per plate appearance is better than 25. So there's kind of reason to believe that if he just came up, I don't know, like a half a season earlier in Cleveland, like he's actually ahead of him. He's the second most home runs ever by a shortstop before turning 30 years old, which, to think about that for a second, again, not A-Rod, because he hit most of the home runs at shortstop, switched to third base, doesn't fit the sleeve. He didn't play 90% of his games at shortstop. What was that? Oh, yeah, and the juice.
The needle. Yeah,
the juice. You put the needle in your head. I don't know.
I know. I didn't know where to, I couldn't like put it in my butt because it was like, it's not going to work on the camera.
That's Barry Bonds for you. Put the needle right in his head. That's why I got so big. But it's just, in terms of defense, in terms of power, even in terms of runs, RBIs, and OPS plus, Lindor is top 15 in all of those for every shortstop in the history of baseball before turning 30 years old. So right now, as we are, he is one of the best players at his position ever in the history of the game to this point in his career, and well on his way to the Hall of Fame path. And we're in like a few year stretch right now, which is going to be really important for Francisco Lindor to actually be a Hall of Famer. If he could stack a few more of these six, even possibly one more 7-win season before he turns 35 years old, like if he can get to like 20 WAR in the next 3 years, like you almost can't even go against him being a Hall of Famer ever. Yeah. A couple more All-Star games, a lot more MVP votes, some playoff success would be great. Even the three playoff games he plays in Met, he was one of the only guys that did show up. You gotta say that. Great playoffs in Cleveland too, back when that run happened. Like he's always showed up in the moments when the moment's been the brightest. Just hasn't had that many bright opportunities in New York yet. But you cannot go against anything he's done. Like, he is one of the best players in baseball and one of the best shortstops ever before they turn 30 years old.
Couldn't say it better myself. I mean, he is big. I'm happy to have him on the New York Mets and that he's going to be here for the next 8 years or whatever it's going to be. You got any bold prediction for Francisco Lindor for the season? I don't know. I feel like that's a fun way to end these.
Yeah, I think Lindor is just going to have another really good year. It feels like another 30-30. Like, everyone kind of talks about, like, oh, he'll never get back to the same offensive spot he got with Cleveland. That probably is true because he put together, like, an 8-win season. He had, like, 40 homers, like, 50 doubles. Like, that was pretty special. Yeah. He was also
38, 42, 92, and 25. That's about one of the best seasons a shortstop's ever had.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's also, like, he was, like, 24 years old then. Like, that's great. And he had no pressure on him. He was just chilling, playing ball. Like, last year, though, he still, despite that season, had the best barrel rate of his entire career, barrels per plate appearances, highest average exit velocity of his entire career, including that season, second highest ex-WOBA. Like, he is ready. It's like everything is still in place for him to have another one of these, like, quintessential amazing years. Like, if he can get like a 35 homer, 25 steal, 280 season, keep giving the defensive value, Mets surprise people, like he gets the MVP votes. It's like, just keep it rolling. There's nothing in his profile that says anything is going in the wrong direction. Really, not at all. And it's so much good stuff still with the young players. Like, I heard the thing, I forgot who said it. I hate not giving credit to people and they say these things, but apparently his locker is next to young Acuna at camp, which is really great. He went to camp early to spend extra time with the prospects. You mentioned before, Bailey, Vientos, Jet, Acuna. Like, he's there. He's doing every single thing you would ever want from a superstar player and then some.
And I mean, you heard it here, guys. Francisco Lindor. If you've never heard of him, now you know everything you need to know about Francisco Lindor. Again, the boys are going to be playing the algorithm game, the podcast game of just pumping out content as much as possible until the season starts. So I hope you enjoyed this. Give us feedback, comments, anything in the comment section or on Twitter. We'd love to know what you guys want to see from these kind of episodes that can maybe improve it, or stuff that you liked and didn't like. Whatever it is, open to feedback. We're trying something new out here on the Mets Up Podcast. We hope you do appreciate it. Follow us on all our social media at Mets Up on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe to the Mets Up YouTube channel. See the video version of this. And if you're listening to us, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, drop us a rating, drop us a review, download, and subscribe. Follow James on Twitter at
James_Shiano.
And me at Giraffneck Mark with a C. Thank you guys for listening and watching, and we'll catch you on the next player preview. Peace.
Peace out. See you guys next time.